Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, episode 251, as we got halfway to 500, and now we're moving on. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the cannibalistic cardinal.
And before, that's fucked up. But you know, this the movie we're doing today is extremely dark. But you know, but and yes. before I get too far into today's show, I want to you know, we did some shout outs for people that have been guests on the show, and I can't believe I forgot to mention our friend Winter has been on a couple episodes and been a huge supporter of our show. And she had texted me this week just checking on me and stuff, and so I have to give her own exclusive shout out at the beginning of the show. And you know, there's a lot going on. A lot of people have helped us make Rebel Radio Podcast the success it's been. So you know, sometimes we forget people, and that doesn't mean that we don't still love you.
That's true,
because we do. She's a very special good friend of mine, so I had to give her
right. Mark, you could show your appreciation by inviting her more often on the show.
Yeah, well, we've been doing digital now. Not everyone has mics and setups like we do, you know.
Oh,
so okay. That has been an issue too, so because I have thought about that. But we do need to get some more guests on the show, bring some people back on, get Rob back on the show, and you know, some of the people like that, and Jason, and people that have been supporters. I already know Matt Ramirez wants to come back around. We do the raid too. He's like, I did the raid one with y'all, I gotta come back for the sequel. So eventually we'll get around to all that, I'm sure. But good stuff. But how are you fellas this week?
Good. Yeah, it's getting closer and closer to that vacation, so just one more week.
Yep. Counting down the days.
Counting down the days, man. And it's a 4-day week because, you know, I had to work the holiday, so they gave me an extra day off. I got a 4-day week coming up.
Cool, man. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a week to vacation as well. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, I took a vacation in March, but man, this stretch between, I don't know, for some reason this feels like a really long 3-month stretch between vacations. I don't know why.
For real.
It felt like, I mean, everyone says, oh wow, it's June already. I don't know. I feel like 2021 hasn't gone by as quickly as some people feel. I feel like this first half of the year has been a bit long, so to speak. You know, I mean, in some ways it's gone by quick, but between the freeze and, you know, finish up the school year for the boys and everything, it just feels like it's been a long time for me, so. The summer is officially here as the kids are out of school now, and starting to get a little hot and warm in Texas, a little toasty on the testicles, you know? But
so, toasty on the testes.
I mean, yeah, so it's true.
Yeah. And,
but things are getting good, you know, movies are starting to come out in theaters, and I think I might venture out here in a few weeks and go see Black Widow in theaters, you know, just to see something, and you know, we got Comic Palooza coming up, which I don't think we're doing a live show from it this year, but we all might go and maybe be on a panel or something, at least have our presence there. But so it's good that some things are happening again after about a year and a half of basically not jack shit. Yeah. So it'd be good to have some sense of normalcy and see where we go from there. Hoping to try to do a live show at Misfit Toys within the next month, too. That will definitely, I think, it's going to happen. We just got to pinpoint the date when Daniel and the guys want us to be over there and make that happen. So that'll be fun too. So good things happen as the summer begins.
Yes, sir.
I'm good too, but I'm sick and tired. I mean, you guys got to be tired of the rain too. It's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, three and a half weeks straight, it's rained almost every day except for a couple of days. It's like, that's a lot. It's just like, come on.
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything about drought conditions or low water levels.
I mean, yesterday, I don't know, you guys might have still been, well, Matt was at home, but Long might have still been at work, but about 2:30 when I went to pick up Michael, I couldn't even see going down West Road. It was so raining so hard. And I was like, man, and that's why I started thinking, screw this fucking rain. But I guess it could be worse. Like Long said, we could be in drought, dry conditions and barely be able to breathe when we walk outside. So, you know.
That's true.
Take your leave.
Yeah, man.
That'll come, though. You know, late July, August, we'll be going, I can't breathe when I walk outside. But, all right. Well, let's get into today's show then officially. Download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. You guys have a chance to check out anything new?
I'll start.
Yeah.
Matt, guess what? I finally bought Disco Elysium.
What? On
Steam. Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It's one of your more modern type point and click adventure games where you definitely pick the dialogue and you basically wake up from a drunken coma.
A drunken coma.
And you're trying to piece all the bits of your life because you kind of experience some amnesia, but you are definitely a cop and a detective, and you have to investigate a murder. And so far, it's pretty interesting. The voice acting's really good, and but yeah, everything you say affects the story. Every choice you make.
Wow.
So it's not a fast-paced game by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a point-and-click type adventure, so it's a different. I don't know if you're open to that kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you ever have a decent PC or something like that, I definitely recommend it. So
yeah, that's
if
it.
if you're in a really good stories.
Do you need a ton of power, or you know, just a decent graphics card? And
I'm not sure, but from what I've played, it doesn't look too demanding.
Okay.
You know, so I tried that game out, and it feels like one all of the fish tanks that I've owned, they're finally settling down, so it seems to free up some time for me to start enjoying my other stuff. Started catching up on Godzilla Singular Point anime, which is airing right now in Japan. And it's okay. It's not bad. I mean, certainly more action than... Well, it doesn't really have more action. It's just... I don't know.
Is that the new Netflix thing that's supposed to be coming?
In June, yeah. But I'm watching it on other streaming sites that are, I say, under the radar.
Right.
As I like to say.
Ah.
Because it's being broadcast in Japan. And I don't know. It's just like... the formula seems to be like... Action, talk about nonsense. Action, talk right. about more nonsense.
Dude, did you see that massive Godzilla toy that one company's coming out with?
Yeah.
With the long tail and all that? That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty darn nice.
Yeah.
Looks expensive, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it was $399, about $400, I think I saw. So, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I haven't really done much except checked out Disco Elysium and watched our feature film. And I, too bad I was just so busy the past week. It was just, I was not doing my actual job and doing someone else's job at work.
That means you're really good, because not only can you do your job, you can do someone else's too.
Right.
For real.
Yeah, I'm very versatile, as they say. So.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, that's my week. How about yours, Matt?
I played more Resident Evil 7. I beat the dad in a very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque battle. You have to fight him with a chainsaw. And there's these bodies hanging around. You have to kick the bodies and disorient them and then cut them with a chainsaw. And I got tired of that, so I just pulled out the shotgun, started blasting away, and took him out that way. But now I'm fighting the mom in the other house, and I'm about halfway through the game now. So I've progressed a bit more. It's definitely good. I like it. I'm starting to get scarce on ammo, like barely scraping the bottom, and then I get it right when I need it. So I got to work on my ammo consumption. So I've been using a lot of knife on my enemies lately. But it's been fun. You know, hopefully I can get a lot farther next week, because I didn't play much this week. Could have gotten a lot farther if I played more. But I wanted to watch an old movie, and I saw Logan's Run, and I knew what Logan's Run was about. Basically, they kill old people, but I'd never seen it. So I watched Logan's Run, and it's interesting sci-fi.
It's different. It's hyper-sexualized. It's kind of weird.
Yes, very hyper-sexualized. He orders a woman through this like TV, and he's like, "Hello, shall we shag?" And she's like, "No, not with you."
It's really bizarre, and like you almost, it's got this weird 70s feel to it with the hyper-sexualization. Like you're supposed to be on acid watching it, but yet it's really hard to stop watching it too. It's
like, yes, once you start watching
it's not a terrible film. Yeah.
No, it's not bad. And it's like the people don't know that, like, essentially they're killing people, but they're the police force within there, the Sandmen is what they call them. Mm-hmm. They claim that this is like they're being reborn. Yeah. And they're not really being reborn. They're being killed. And once you hit like 31, 32, or 33, you start blinking. And there's a whole other world outside, which they discover, and they show the whole city what it is.
Michael Bay's The Island is a loose reimagining of that in some ways. You know? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The one with Leo DiCaprio?
No, it's Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson when she was like 19 years old. Oh, Lord, she's hot in that movie.
that's the one where he told her to keep her clothes on, right? She offered to go or something.
I don't think so.
That's a rumor. It's a rumor that apparently she offered.
You recognize the lead actor from Logan's Run, right?
Yeah, that's Basil.
Yeah, Basil from Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm. That's why I did the "Shall We Shag." And I'm like, he was in that one. There was an Antichrist movie I remember him from that I can never find. I need to find it, because we watched it one time in Sunday school, and it was about the Antichrist. But Logan's Run, it's on what is it?
It's usually streaming on Prime or one of those places.
I think it's on Prime. It's Prime or HBO Max. I don't think I saw it on Netflix.
Keep going. But, I think I heard a really loud noise outside. I need to go check it out. Keep talking.
Yeah, go for it. Watched a few animated films. We had Coco on, so me and the kid. I loosely watched it, but that's a good animated movie. And I was like, man, I made a comment. I was like, what if they make a Coco 2? You know, and it's
how could you make a Coco 2 though?
Yeah. Yeah, Dela Cruz is revenge.
There's enough sadness in the first one. You don't need more.
It really is, man. It really pulls at your heartstrings. Yeah.
Yes.
But I watched that, and man, there was something else. Jesus, there was something else. But I guess I don't remember. Sometimes I just have a bad habit of not remembering what I watched. But that was essentially it. Yeah, man. That's I blame the sleep schedule. I'm just like, I feel like it's harder to remember stuff.
How old are you going to turn this year?
35.
30. Yeah, almost 40, man. You're going to start forgetting shit, man. You walk to the bathroom and go take a shit. You'll come back out and like 15 minutes later, you'll feel like you have to go again. It'll be like, oh, wait, I already went. Yep. I'm not saying that ever happened to me. I'm just saying it could happen.
It could. It happened with a friend I know.
Yeah, exactly. So Long heard a loud noise. What if he doesn't come back and we hear loud noises? I guess we have to call the police to his house.
Yeah, dude. Like, we have to call for a welfare check.
That would be weird to be like, where did he go? Where's Long? And is he okay? Is he okay? Would be like live PD on the podcast.
And then it turns out he got distracted and started heating up some pizza rolls and was watching Trek or something. Yeah.
There is no live PD anymore, is it? It's one of those shows that got canceled during cancel culture, didn't it?
Yeah. I hope they bring it back, because, man, I watch reruns. And, you know, my cousin, he's sent me some body cam footage. And I don't know if he's supposed to send it to me, but, you know, he did. And I was like, oh, cool. I was like, this supplements my lack of live PD or cops. I could have sworn I saw something about a streaming service wanting to pick up some kind of body cam type footage, you know, police show, some real time police show. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Who knows? Everything's getting canceled.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't watch much this week, but I did watch something. I watched not the latest. It's been out for a few months now, but I watched Batman Soul of the Dragon from the DC Animated Universe series. It was okay. For being a Batman movie, there's not a whole lot of Batman in it. There's a lot of Bruce Wayne in it. It's kind of like Bruce Wayne and his crew, like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. They're taking on like this demon guy, and it was all right. You know, the DC animated stuff, you know, we talked about Death of Superman, some of the good ones. Like Man of Tomorrow, since they rebooted it with the Superman Man of Tomorrow was pretty good. This one was okay. I was kind of like, yeah, I was hoping it'd be better. It's pretty violent, so it is R-rated for violence in it, and but not like overly violent. Like I let Michael watch it with me. I don't know. It was all right. But I have a copy of the Justice Society World War II, so I'm going to try to watch that this weekend and get caught up on my DC animated stuff before Batman Long Halloween comes out. And I also, Raya and the Last Dragon is on Disney Plus starting today, so that's on my watch list too. So hopefully I get those two watched before next week's show. Still haven't watched The Bad Batch. I got behind on that after the first two or three episodes, and so I gotta get caught up. And of course, Loki's coming out this week on Disney Plus on Wednesday, so the next Marvel series will be in. So that should be exciting. But that's really about all I watched this week was Batman: Soul of the Dragon.
I watched the Bad Batch. I watched more of the Bad Batch. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I gotta get caught up on that. And that's about it. I mean, you know, I think the kids had Moana on the other day, and I was sitting watching some of that, you know, but that's about it. But yeah, you get caught up in the Bad Batch and get ready for Loki on Wednesday. But now that school is out, I have a little more time to hopefully get some stuff in. And like I really want to watch after watching today's featured film. I realize, you know, I own the sequel to the movie we're doing today, but I've only seen the sequel, I think, like one time. I think I bought it because I had not seen it. I didn't go to theaters to see it. I think I found a copy for like $7 and I watched it, and I think I've only watched it once because I'm sitting here looking like I don't remember anything about the sequel. It's like I need to rewatch it. I remember Ava Green in it being hot as always, but that's about it.
Oh yeah.
But I guess that brings us to today's featured film as we I'm hoping Long is okay now. He's still not back at the microphone yet.
Yeah, dude. I heard a loud noise and then he disappears.
I know, and then he doesn't come back, and it's just like, And he has the door shut, so the mic sensitivity. Like there could be like something going on behind that door, and we don't even know. You know, like he could be getting butt raped or something.
Hopefully not.
That's a terrible joke. I shouldn't joke about that. I apologize, and I'm not going to edit it out because it's still funny.
Yeah.
He's going to go back and listen to this episode and be like, "You motherfuckers, man."
It happens, man. Stranger things have happened. We had a tiger out on the loose.
Here he comes. He's back. Hopefully things are okay.
Yeah.
And he did not get butt raped. It's good.
Long, did someone attack you and you had to take care of them?
No, there was an accident in front of my house. So.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you know, tied some cannibal up and had a wolf eat his remains.
We've talked about that before, that one of us was a secret assassin. It's definitely fucking Long.
Yeah, man.
We just finished downloading this Long, so we're getting today's featured film. You made it back just in time.
Well, wait a minute. What did you watch? No.
You just have to listen, and okay, that's it.
Yeah, you'll have to re-listen.
All right, that's what I get for helping the special needs guy.
No,
I hope you feel bad now, Mark.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I didn't watch much. He didn't miss much. So, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, today's featured film. What year? 2005 was this? Yeah.
Yeah, 05.
Was from Robert Rodriguez and adapted from the graphic novels by Frank Miller. And that is Sin City, a movie that Frank Miller was Hollywood was trying to option this for years, and Frank Miller didn't want it done because he didn't feel anybody could do it justice. And Robert Rodriguez shot some test footage, which is in fact the beginning and the end of the movie with Josh Hartnett's character, that he shot to sell it to Frank Miller. And Frank was like, okay, let's do this. And that's how Sin City came to be and got made. Anybody want to summarize it? This is a kind of a little complicated movie to summarize in some ways. Yeah. Because it's like three stories and kind of combined into one.
I think I've got this. So, like you said, Mark, there's three stories rolled into one. And, of course, the opening scene with Josh Hartnett is what we get. And you think that this guy's here to help this dame at the beginning of the movie. And really, he's there to, like, kill her. When he could have, like, at least scored first, you know. But he doesn't care about that. He just wants to collect her paycheck, like he says. And then, you know, the movie continues on to the storyline with Mickey Rourke's character, Marv, who I think he plays dead on, man. He's a tough guy. And, you know, Clive Owen's character mentions that he was born in the wrong era. He should have been born where he was a Viking swinging axes and hitting people in the face. And he's framed for a murder. And the cops come and, you know, murder of this hooker, Goldie, that, you know, he had extreme feelings for. And he's going to find her, kill her. And he goes through a few leads before he comes to Elijah Wood's character, finds out that he butchered her up, and finds a clergyman that has also engaged in eating bodies too. And that's one story, but then he pops up in these other stories. And we go,
well, all the characters kind of intertwined together. Yeah.
Yeah. They're intertwined together. And then we go on to the beginning of Bruce Willis's arc. And he's one of the few honest cops in the cities. And he saves Nancy, but then finds out that, you know, the whole city's against him. They frame him, so everyone's getting framed and fingered for stuff. And he's got to spend years in jail while Nancy, who grows up to be Jessica Alba,
writing him letters. She is quite something in this movie.
Smoking, man. And then we move on to the city, the army of hookers, and Clive Owen's story, which is freaking, you know, badass. There are all these chicks in leather and fishnets and shooting up dudes. You know, he's dating Brittany Murphy's character in this movie, and you know, he's trying to protect her from this guy that thinks he's her boyfriend. They get chased into this city of hookers where they unknowingly break their contract with the mob. They're trying to set them up so they can get more territory because they just killed a cop. And you're not supposed to kill cops in this movie. And we circle back, you know, after they square things away over there and get their territory back and find out who the snitch is, have this giant gun battle. We go back to Bruce Willis's character, and he's got to fight the green guy that can only get hard by making women scream violently.
Well, the yellow bastard.
Yeah, the yellow bastard. Yeah. Furious Yellow, or, you know, the Simpsons episode or something. So, guy that came out of a Matt Groening cartoon. You know, he's trying to get Jessica Alba to scream so he can get a hard on and finish the job that what he did.
Nick Stahl. Yeah. Man, Stahl. That was the last movie that he's ever, last major movie I could think of that he was in before he disappeared into the Skid Row of L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, totally went down the tubes as far as his drug addiction in real life. Just, anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. He was a rising star. You know, he did Terminator 3 and then Sin City after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him from Terminator 3. I mean, he was an okay John Connor. I wasn't a biggest fan of his. It helped provide a venue for Arnold to come back and wear star spangled glasses and take leather clothes off of a stripper. That was funny. Bruce, he of course saves Nancy. She professes her love for him and he loves her, but he thinks it's weird because he saved her as a child. But you know, he's got some really good dialogue in that car chase scene where he's like, He's skilled, but he's not taking his time. Right. He's just shooting. You know, you got to line up your shot. And then, boom, he splatters, you know, through the guy's neck.
Yeah. Well, every line of dialogue in this movie is taken from Frank Miller's comics. Rodriguez changed almost nothing. In fact, there's no screenwriter credit on this film. It's all adapted from Frank Miller's novels.
It's almost not a graphic. It's almost like a graphic novel on screen. It's not right. It's not a, really a comic book movie or anything like that. It's something in itself, really.
Yeah. Well, that's a great. There's three things about this movie. One is it's Frank Miller is fucked up in the head. I don't know what he's smoking when he draws these comics or writes them, but there is some dark, dark, fucked up shit in this movie. Two, you're absolutely right. It's one of, out of all the comic book films that have come out, we've had some great stuff with all the Marvel things, everything. To me, rewatching this, this is still one of the best adaptions on screen as far as the way it looks. And like you said, they've literally put a moving comic book on screen, and it's amazing. And three, Robert Rodriguez, man, he gets everyone to buy into this hook, line, and sinker. It's all green screen work, but he convinces every actor in this film feels like they're given 100%. And I think it's a really well, I hadn't watched it in several years, but I'm like, this is really well acted. It's actually really fucking well done. Yes. And it holds up extremely well, you know, 15, 16 years later. And it looks, the Blu-ray presentation, it looks insanely good in high definition.
Yes,
it
does. Yeah. That's how I watched it. Long, man, some of your initial thoughts on Sin City.
Three main things. First, my favorite story in this anthology is definitely Marv's story starring Mickey Rourke. And man, Mickey Rourke is so good in this role as Marv. He's such an underrated actor, but I could see why during the 80s and part of the 90s why so many critics love him as an actor. And he's just so, I don't know, such a level of believability to the way he just spouts off these really over the top dialogue, and he makes it work somehow. And my least favorite part of the anthology is the Clive Owens one with the whole Jackie Boy head thing. I didn't like that one as much.
No? Where he's driving him around?
Right. It's just kind of, it really, to me, the story really slowed down when he thought that Jackie Boy's dead body was talking to him in the car.
That was Tarantino's part that he directed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But for me, it still dragged the story for me. It just seems like unnecessary.
I will say that's probably the slowest part in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of picked up a little bit with the whole Hardigan Nancy story.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good one, too. And what else? And I wish I had more time to watch Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Because I remember sitting through that one and really enjoying that movie just as much as the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah, a strange little note. I don't want to get too off the original film, but a strange little note about the sequel was, you know, the studio didn't want the anthology style for the second film, so Rodriguez was kind of forced to do the single story in the second film because his original plan was to do another anthology style. But the studio kind of was like, no, we just want a more singular film. And so, you know, sometimes directors lose those battles. Yeah, man, this movie, though, man, like Rucker Howard, Powers Booth. I mean, two guys are no longer with us, but they play some wicked-ass villains in this movie. There's some twisted shit in this movie, man. I mean, Elijah Wood, who's coming off the Lord of the Rings films at the time, plays this emotionless, twisted little cannibal kid who's just like...
Dude, he looks so creepy. It's
legit fucking scary.
And then the wolf's eating him. He's not making a noise. He's just staring.
I know. And this... Obviously, Frank Miller is heavily influenced by film noir and and styles of that such. And it comes across on the screen as with the narrations of the different characters, and the narration kind of flips around between Hartigan and Marv and Dwight, and they're all telling these different versions of the story. And but it's a remarkably done, and credit to Rodriguez for his editing of this film and to put it all together on screen and to what turns out to be quite a coherent story. In fact, I've seen the uncut version where, you know, they separate the stories kind of. They had put it out on a Blu-ray special edition DVD one time. And I actually prefer the theatrical cut, because the uncut version, it separates the stories, but the intertwinedness doesn't make quite as much sense, because you have to remember back to the other stories and everything. So I kind of prefer the theatrical cut of this one a little bit more. And Michael Clark Duncan, man, another great actor that's no longer with us, is in this film too. Playing a villainous role himself, and and that's why he took the role, because he wanted to play something a little bit, you know, instead of the good guy all the time, he wanted to play something a little bit darker and scarier. I was texting you guys, though. This is quite a phenomenal cast to put together, even in 2004. You know, some of these people are huge stars, you know, now, and Bruce Willis was a huge star at the time. Michael Madsen got the part kind of by accident, because he was at a party with Robert Rodriguez, and he's like, why am I not in this film? And Rodriguez had one part left. He's like, well, you can play Bob. And Madsen's like, fuck yeah, I'll do it. You know? And from Bruce to, I mean, who else is this? Rosario Dawson. Good. She's smoking on screen in this movie too.
Oh yeah. All the women are, and they're just really, really dressed up.
Maybe Miss Brittany Murphy, though, watching this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, she's...
Yeah, such a natural charisma. Mm-hmm. She passed away, not too long after.
Yeah, not too long after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was... Was that the one that got her drugs mixed up or something?
There's a lot of theories around this story. There's rumors that her father may have done it because he wanted her money. I mean, who knows? There's all kinds of conspiracy theories about Brittany Murphy's death and what happened there, you know. But yeah, it was some sort of prescription mix up, and it's unfortunate, because she was definitely a talent, and it shows on this. I mean, her scene she's in, that I know that wasn't your favorite story long, but she's a scene chewer in that scene. She's so good.
Yeah,
going up against Del Toro and Clive Owen, who are both good actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she made the most of her scenes in this movie. And she's a versatile actor, too. She could do drama if she wants. She could do comedy if she wants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely miss Brittany Murphy. Where would she be if she was still alive right now?
Man, I think...
I bet you she'd be in a Marvel movie.
She could.
Oh, yeah.
I think she could be in a Marvel movie.
Somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of hard... Yeah.
I really like... I was always a fan of Clive Owen, too. I felt he was always... had a charisma to him that he could have been this huge leading actor, and he had some good stuff like this and Children of Men. He's excellent at that. And I was looking at his IMDb page. He's still acting, but it seems like he does a lot of independent stuff and lesser known stuff. It doesn't seem like he's doing as much of the big Hollywood big budget pictures anymore. I don't know why. You know, I mean, his last big film he did was that crazy weird shoot 'em up movie, and that ever since then it seems like he does more independent stuff.
Well, I think the biggest reason, it's always a common reason that, like, a lot of English actors put up with, is that they put up with so much, you know, bullshit with Hollywood execs, and they just got tired of the, you know, the politics. And
right.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you never know.
Paul Bettany almost quit Hollywood, too, because of all the BS that's going on.
Yeah.
Until he got cast in the MCU,
right?
Oh,
yeah, because Clive Owen is really good. You know, I think he's a good actor.
I miss Eric Bana.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Eric Bana.
Yeah, I miss him.
He's good too.
I want to see his comedic chops. I've only seen him in action and drama stuff. You know,
I've never seen him in comedy. I didn't know he did it.
That's how he got his start.
Oh wow.
So, yeah, in Australia.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was blown away. The that one, that thing with the yellow bastard was a pretty satisfying ending. Oh, yeah. I have to say.
He grabs his gun and
graphically rips his testicles out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, first I take his weapon, then I take the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, just to see, there's some, like, the one, his parole officer, and he eats her hand off. I mean, there's some really, truly dark stuff in this movie. But, like you said, it all kind of has a satisfying conclusion to some of the stories, because ultimately, it's kind of weird. Everyone in Sin City is kind of a bad person, except Hardigan is trying really hard to be the straight and narrow guy and save Nancy. But in the end, ultimately the good guys win, even if it's by at all costs by a lot of people dying. Even Hardy himself ends up taking his own life at the end of the movie. You know, yeah. So it's kind of a weird movie as to who to root for. There's no cut and dry good guys and bad guys in this movie because everybody's kind of effed up,
you know,
in different ways. But it all comes together in a nicely told anthology story. They're all tied and I rewatching this, you know, I really enjoyed Alita: Battle Angel, and I've enjoyed a lot of Robert Rodriguez's career, and I think this might be a little underrated. I think this might be one of his better films he's done overall, and it's something he didn't even write. You know, he adapted from the comics, and Frank Miller even has a cameo himself in the movie as a preacher. Robert Rodriguez is actually in the film as one of the SWAT team members, but you don't really see his face in the film. So I thought that was interesting, and his buddy Quentin Tarantino came in and directed a scene for him that we mentioned, the scene in the car. Yeah, I think even Frank Miller helped with some of the directing of the film. I think he's given credit as a co-director too. And the sequel is actually a prequel to this film too, A Dame to Kill For. People forget about that, because that's why when Brittany Murphy's character mentions, they just don't recognize your face. And there's a whole, in A Dame to Kill For, of course, Josh Brolin plays Dwight, and he gets his face all fucked up, and that's why Dwight looks different in the second one, well, in Sin City. So A Dame to Kill For is actually a prequel. So,
Which one do you think was better for Dwight in that role?
I think they both do a good job, actually.
Yeah
I do.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have read, but I have read quite a few of the Sin City graphic novels. I've read A Dame to Kill For. I've read To Hell and Back, which is Marv's story. And I've read, I forget the name of Nancy's story, but I've never read that Yellow Bastard, but I have read some of the other ones. And this is definitely a direct adaptation. I mean, from screen to screen. I mean, the only difference is there's a lot more nudity in the comics. You know, the original script had Nancy being nude like she was in the books, but Jessica Alba wasn't comfortable with it. And Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez got together, and they realized, you know what, there's no need for it. It doesn't add anything to the story. She can keep her clothes on. And that's that. You know, I mean, it's a shame for all of us, because we would have liked to, you know, but
we got Carla Gugino.
Yes. And yes, we got her. And then in the second one, we got lots of Ava Green. So, you know, it all worked out in the end. So we're not going to complain.
Sir.
Not
complaining.
But if I had a favorite scene or a favorite story of this movie, see, I'm kind of the opposite, Long. I really like the story with Dwight and Jackie Boy. I love the scene where, what's her name? The sword girl. Miho.
Miho.
Is that right? Yeah, where she comes, yeah. She just takes them all out. I think that's all awesome. I like that story a lot. But I also like Marv's story, too. You know, Dwight, like you said, Mickey Rourke's really good in this movie. And he owns it, man. He really enjoyed playing the part, you could tell. And so it's good stuff all around. There's really nothing in this movie I really don't like as far as the stories. I mean, as twisted as they are, they're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
No, I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I remembered enjoying it at, you know, whenever I first watched it, I guess, because, you know, it feels like it just upholds, you know, the way everything looks. And I guess I'm paying more attention to the dialogue now, and I think it's just so well put together.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was curious how it was going to hold up after having not watched in a while, and for considering this was kind of a technology that Rodriguez kind of created in his editing studio to give it the look of the comic book, and but it holds up really well. I mean, 16 years later, it still looks great, and the story is good. I was really pleasantly surprised as how well it does hold up. And I think I give this a solid A. I think it's a good movie. I think it's a really, really well done adaption.
Yeah, it's an A.
It's B+.
B+.
2 out of 3 was good stories for me personally.
Yep. But it was cool though. I would have there was talks at one time about a third one, but probably out of the woods now, years later. This is one of those movies that Sin City feels like one of those movies that Hollywood will try to remake one day after Frank Miller has passed away, and they'll think, oh, look, it's a comic book adaption. Let's redo it, and it won't be as good. You know, there's a certain charm to this movie as the fact that, not charm in a happy charm way, a certain charm that Robert Rodriguez took the time to create this and put on the big screen and make it look like a living, moving comic book with live-action characters. And I love the use of color in the right places and different things like that. I think it's really fantastically done. And I'm going to try to watch the sequel sometime this week, since I watched the original too. So if I can get it squeezed in.
So. Yeah, well, I need to watch Dame to Kill For.
Yeah.
I think Dame to Kill For was on Netflix. I don't know if the original was. I don't know. I own the movie, so I just watched it. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we get to today's top five then. We didn't even mention this while watching this, but most of Sin City is in black and white. And with colors trickled throughout it for certain scenes, which is a unique technique used in the comics, and they translate to the big screen. So we thought we would look back at our top five favorite black and white movies. And my approach I took with my list was I didn't put Sin City on it because I felt like it was only black and white to serve the purpose of adapting the graphic novel. But I did this more my favorite black and white movies, because I know they're probably not the best, because, like, you know, if you do a list like that, you could do, you know, Casablanca or one of those famous movies. So this is more stuff that I enjoyed watching in black and white. And yeah, I'll start this week, because I think I went last week. At number five, I have The Wolfman, the original, you know, Universal movie classic, which we did it on the show a few years back, and you know, it plays so well in black and white. And we talked about, like, you know, if you colorize The Wolfman, I don't think it has that same Victorian graphic effect that the movie has, being in black and white. There's something to the eeriness of it being without color, if that makes sense. And it holds up well. I mean, the movie's almost 100 years old, and The Wolfman is still a freaking fantastic movie.
Yeah, the play with shadows and lighting, mm-hmm. and contrast, and The Wolfman, well, any of the classic Universal black and white movies, was heavily influenced by German postmodernism,
yep.
you know, aesthetic. So yeah, it works out. That's a good one.
I've got 12 Angry Men as my number five. I'm gonna go old school, Gandalf. All right, I think Richard Harris was in that movie, wasn't he? Richard Harris was in that. I had to watch it in English class, and I felt like, you know, I feel
no,
like.
No, are you talking about 12 Angry Men, the black and white one?
Yeah.
Henry Fonda was in it. But I don't think Richard Harris was in it.
Henry Fonda, that's right.
Yeah, Henry Fonda.
But yeah, I feel like the physical acting in that movie is really good, because you have to. You're stuck in the room, and then one guy's resolve, you know, flips everybody. You know, it's a really good, really good movie. Definitely may rewatch it soon. But
yeah,
I've only seen it once.
Good pacing too. I watched it recently.
Oh really?
Good movie. Yeah, I own the movie.
Oh cool.
It's on Criterion, so Criterion Collection.
I think it's on Vudu for sale. Might be.
Yeah. I know Sin City is on Vudu for $5 right now.
Yeah.
I already owned it. That was the first movie I ever had on Vudu.
There is the one character in there that reminds me of you, Matt, and in 12 Angry Men, and it's the guy with the glasses played by what was his name? Ed Marshall, maybe? Yeah. I don't know, but he's the very logical guy in the 12 Angry Men. He reminds me of you, Matt.
Nice.
But my number five is actually an old John Ford movie called Grapes of Wrath, another Henry Fonda movie.
Good one.
And I was just impressed by how...
Steinbeck.
Was a John Steinbeck novel about the Great Depression and a family's plight from Oklahoma to California, just trying to find work and try to feed themselves and make ends meet. And it's just John Ford's one of John Ford's masterpiece films, and it just does such a great job with the cinematography, Henry Fonda just being the glue to hold the family together, and his mom also a good actor, and very good portrayal of the Great Depression. So that's my number 5, Grapes of Wrath.
At number 4 I have the classic Western with Gary Cooper, High Noon. And it's actually been colorized, but you have to watch it in black and white to appreciate, like, the sheriff trying to hold this town together and trying to do everything he can to be morally right, but at the end he realizes he has to cross that line to defend his town. And one of the great shootouts and endings of all time in a Western film. And if you've never seen High Noon, then you can't consider yourself a Western fan. I mean, it's a
John Wayne hates this movie, by the way.
Yes, I know, but it's way better than anything John Wayne probably ever made, too. So maybe that's why he hates it. Except maybe The Searchers. The Searchers is pretty good, but
High Noon was okay.
But High Noon is definitely a must watch if you're a film fan.
Yeah, a sheriff among cowards, basically. No one wants to help him defend the town. Nobody. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to go horror, and I'm going to pick Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock, 1960. I think it's I feel like it's could be better than Halloween, maybe. Definitely weird with the son trying to keep his mother alive and got this weird relationship where he likes to cross dress as her, but it's a messed up film from a good horror film director, Alfred Hitchcock, and iconic.
Yep.
Just not the Vince Vaughn version.
Yeah, that's not black and white.
See, they're gonna make a Wedding Crashers 2.
I saw that. I wonder how they do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that today. You just made me think about what you said, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
My number 4 is actually The Seven Samurai, Kira Kurosawa movie. And I really like this movie. Quickest 4-hour movie I've ever watched. And good pacing all around.
Yes, I have. Good, I need to give you your Blu-ray back.
Yeah, good composition of film and great characters too, good action. And yeah, Seven Samurai, 1954, Kira Kurosawa.
At number 3 I have this is a very cliche pick, but it's a great movie. That's It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, I mean, it's the movie for a lot of people that are their introduction to Jimmy Stewart, who's such a great actor. It's a good movie. I mean, I don't know. Everyone's seen it. Everyone knows what it is. I mean, you can't say enough about it. It is one of the great films of all time. I mean, I know some people hate on it, but I think it's one of those movies that it's trendy to hate It's a Wonderful Life because they don't want to admit that it's a really good fucking film. So you just want to hate on it. But it's a classic. You can't go wrong with it at Christmas time.
What's funny is I also picked a Jimmy Stewart film, but I picked Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think his performance there when he's like, he can't have any water. He runs out of water. They won't give him any water. And he just like passes out, trying to petition the bill that's going to screw over the Boy Scouts. I think it's powerful,
It's a good movie.
I think a movie that all of us should try to watch is Vertigo.
Vertigo?
That was random, but okay.
It's a Jimmy Stewart movie.
I know he's in it.
Yeah.
And he hated that movie, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There was one because he did a couple of horror movies, because I remember his agent thought he should do it, and I remember reading somewhere where he was not a fan of them, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
My number three, I'm going to go a little modern. It kind of in the same wheelhouse as Sin City, and I'm going to go with Captain Skyhawk.
Oh, in the World of Tomorrow?
In the World of Tomorrow.
No, it's not Captain Skyhawk.
Is it not Captain Skyhawk?
I know which one you're talking about.
It's not Skyhawk.
It's Captain...
Sky Captain.
Anyway,
Sky Captain in the World
Sky
of
Captain. Sky Captain. Okay.
Really?
Okay.
I always wanted to see that film because I liked the trailer.
Oh, man. I tried...
It's all style. No
yeah, substance, I tried to I tried to rewatch it not that long ago, and I'm like, it's not very good. Like, no, it's a lot of style, but the story in the movie is really bad.
For me personally, it's one of those few movies where I like the style over the substance.
Right.
So
I mean,
it has Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, sure. No, that's fair.
You know,
I mean, you think I watch Sucker Punch for the story? No.
No. For the action, really. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good action. but yeah, Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow is my number three.
At number two, I have Matt's earlier pick, and that's 12 Angry Men. Such a well-acted film. I mean, you guys already touched on it before. One of those. I remember watching this in school for some class, and just you know, and I was kind of like a lot of teenagers and thinking, oh, a black and white movie. And I remember watching it and just being blown away by it, how good it was, and watched it again years later and still remember how good it was. And, definitely a classic movie.
Number two, Matt.
Number two for me, I've got Night of the Living Dead, George A. Romero's.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I had that on my list and I crossed it out. It was almost my number five because I chose the Wolfman over it.
I feel like, you know, I know it's a little slower to watch, but it's like, I mean, everyone has tried to remake.
Yeah, you can't deny its influence. Yeah.
Yeah. The influence factor is really what makes it awesome. Yeah, what's that other film adaptation that's like, well, there's tons like it, but there's, I can't remember what it's titled, but oh well, I'm getting off on a tangent. But yeah, Night of the Living Dead, George A. Romero.
my number two is Young Frankenstein.
Oh, Mel Brooks. Yes. Oh
yeah.
Man, how did I forget about that?
Even though this was made in the 70s, Mel Brooks did a fantastic job of recreating the cinematography almost to the exact level of lighting and contrast.
Yes.
And artistic direction, just like the classic Universal movies did. And hats off to him, because he actually had the film grain, too.
Yeah.
Mimicked quite done quite well.
Igor.
And the actual props from the Frankenstein movies were reused. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and they didn't know if it still worked when they turned it on, the film. So, yeah, my number two is Young Frankenstein, starring Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks.
At number one, I have a pit movie long picked earlier. That's Seven Samurai. I mean, out of all the movies in the world ever made, Seven Samurai might be one of the most absolute influential films ever done. I mean, from Star Wars to The Magnificent Seven to
A Bug's Life
to, I mean, yeah. It's just, it's influenced so much, you know, and it's hard to deny that. And not only that, it's a great movie. Like Long said, he let me borrow the Blu-ray, and it's 4 hours, but I didn't sit and watch it 4 hours. I watched it over a couple of days, but it's paced so well. Really interesting characters in the movie. And it's just shot phenomenally well, considering what the struggles that Kurosawa had to go through to film this, you know, because back then they didn't have, you know, the technology we have and everything, and the costuming, and from everything he put together into just quite an amazing film, and possibly the greatest black and white film ever made. I was actually surprised Long didn't have it higher on his list. I really thought for sure me and Long would have the same number one today.
Well,
oh well.
Me and you have the same number one. I also picked Seven Samurai. It's the fastest 4-hour movie you'll ever watch. The plot, I mean, they just keep building character development, boom, 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 all the way up. When the samurai interact with the villagers, you know, it's just, it's all icing, man. It's all sweet. So, Seven Samurai, like you said, it's influenced a ton, and it speaks for itself.
My number one.
It's going to be Godzilla.
It's also fight. What?
It's going to be Godzilla.
Shut up.
Let him have his moment, man.
Fuck no, because he messed up. We could add a triple trifecta to number one. No, I'm just kidding.
It was made by the same studio. Godzilla, 1954. Okay, you called me out.
Yes.
I don't appreciate
it. You know what's funny is, here's the funny thing is, it didn't even click. As big of a Godzilla fan as long as, I didn't even think it would be his number one until I was looking at the poster behind him and going, fuck, it's going to be Godzilla.
Yeah, you saw me. You saw the blood in the water, the chum. You the knew chum. I was going to bite. Yep. Oh, it's like, let's do black and white movies.
I just clicked at the last, like, oh, fuck, it's Godzilla. So why is Godzilla your number one, Long?
Because it's in black and white, that's why. Is that the only reason?
Because I know, I know it's not one of your favorite Godzilla movies, because it's kind of slow, and, you know, I know
yeah.
that.
Yeah, but I'm still impressed by the way they shot the creature.
Right.
It was the, you know, at the nighttime scene, they do a really good job just showing his silhouette and against the black and white fiery black drop. It's just cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, Godzilla 1954, my number one.
Fair enough. And let's do some news then, if I can read my own handwriting. What the hell did I write down? Very much news. I really don't know what I wrote down. Son of a bitch. I know Seth. I know Seth Rogen announced that his Ninja Turtle movie is going to come out in 2023. Does anybody care?
Not a Seth Rogen one. I mean,
I guess it's going to be animated through Nickelodeon, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, man. It feels like...
Is he directing?
I think he's just producing it. I mean, I like the Ninja Turtles and stuff, but I just feel like... I don't know. Is it necessary? You know, do we need more animated turtles at the theaters? I don't know. But we don't necessarily need more live action either after the last two. They were okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about it. We'll see. And then we got a tease today from the Flash movie set where he showed a picture of a bloody bat symbol teasing Michael Keaton's Batman costume. I'm trying to be excited for this just because it's Michael Keaton in the Batman suit, but at the same time, a bit reserved, as we know to be reserved with the DC movies by now. Like, you know, they just don't have that track record like Marvel has to be excited about them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm still very intrigued, personally.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's what I wrote down. This long digesting Why the Last Man television series on FX, which seems like it's been in production for years, finally has a release date. It's going to hit FX this September. So I've read that entire series. It's a great comic book series. So I hope it's good, but I just feel like, I know FX is a little more adult, but I still feel like this is a show that should have gone to a streaming service where they can really adapt it properly. So we'll see. So, but I'll watch it. As a fan of the comic book, I will give Why the Last Man a chance when it comes on. So we'll see. But that's really it. It's kind of a slow news week. But it was a holiday week. It's always slow news on holiday weeks. So that's cool. Let's preview next week's film before we get out of here. We just got to see this big dog clash with Godzilla recently on HBO Max or in theaters, whatever you chose to watch. So we're going to go back to his origins, and this is I think this is going to be the oldest movie we've ever done on the show. I don't think we've ever gone past I don't remember what year the Wolfman was. That was more than 1940s, huh? Mm-hmm. But I think this is definitely going to be the oldest, 1933, man. The original classic King Kong.
We're millionaires, boys. I'll share it with all of you. Why, in a few months, it'll be up in lights on Broadway. Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Wild, weird, wonderful, the stuff for which movies were made. Adventure, to make you wonder if it's true, while your eyes convince you that it is. Truly, the thrill of thrills. Don't miss it this time.
Back-to-back black and white movies. I didn't even think about that. So,
the poor kids. Will they survive?
They'll survive. So we're going to go back and look at the original King Kong next week and see how it holds up almost 90 years later. And talk it. That should be a fun one. It's been a long time since I've watched it. And I actually have a DVD copy I'd picked up like at half-price books for real cheap probably a few months ago. And I've been meaning to watch it. And now I have a reason to watch it. So that'll be fun. Have you seen the original King Kong, Matt?
No, I have seen
the Peter Jackson version, probably.
Yeah, I think I saw the Jack Black one.
And maybe the 19th. A lot of people have seen the 1970s.
Yeah,
the 1976 version, and they forget they've seen it, which actually isn't terrible. It's okay. It's not great either. It's okay. So. That's next week on the show. But that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. Go to rebelradiopodcast.com and stay safe out there. Have a good week. And this has been Martin.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the cannibalistic cardinal.
Cardinal. I'm quite frightened now. As always, to another 250 episodes, remember, just go there
and do it.
Do it.